part six, or thereabouts, of my critique of John Flint in the Sunday Times, Western Australia, 8th of January 2023 edition. And please, if you can, look at the links below in the description for the previous parts. It'll make a lot more sense. And there's disclaimers that are important in the description as well. And I'm continuing with this article from the Sunday Times. I'm on the bonnet of my car at the moment because it was getting a bit too dark. It's late in the day here on the 22nd, I think it is, of January. Yes, no, gosh, it's got to be later than that. I just checked the date, and it's the 23rd of January. It's a Monday, late in the day, 2023, Perth, Northern Suburbs, Western Australia, northeastern at the moment, Success Hill Reserve. And the light was failing in the car. It's a little bit brighter outside. I'll continue to read. I might be two-thirds or more through the, or three-quarters through this John Flint spread. Gosh, I've got wind issues now, but anyway, not digestive, breeze issues here. The RACGP, that's the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, were strongly opposed to law amendments. I've just been talking about Dr. Nicole Higgins, the president or whatever of that association, to law amendments which allow information regarding complaints against GPs to be made public before investigations are complete. The amendments have already been enacted in the eastern states, and the WA government expects to introduce legislation this year. The AMA has been scathing of the amendments. The AMA does not support the medical board or APRA being able to issue a public warning before a tribunal has completed its actions. To do so would imply guilt and is likely to ruin a practitioner's reputation, it stated. Agree. This is done far too often in far too many situations to all manner of people, including ordinary citizens all around the world. Until a court, a properly constituted court, has found a convicted person guilty, we shouldn't know about it in the great majority of cases, because if they're found innocent, their reputation and life can be, their livelihood, etc., can be ruined. The impact of this on the livelihoods, mental health, and indeed longevity of practice for doctors cannot be downplayed. The constant state of fear doctors practice under, waiting for their turn to be next under the APRA microscope, weighs heavily across our profession. This level of fear and uncertainty is heightened by amendments such as these. Very good point. Couldn't agree more. Dr. Berger claims he is presently defending himself against right-wing trolls who have been making anonymous complaints to APRA in a bid to get him deregistered. I keep wanting to close my Twitter account, and I veer between doing it and not doing it because I have an important voice globally, not just in Australia, he said. I kind of feel at the moment I have to keep fighting it. The attempts to close me down through inciting mass reporting to APRA have been very sinister. Now, I don't know who his right-wing trolls are, but of course I would call APRA a left-wing troll in this instance by comparison. The left-wing, the way our politics around the world goes these days, left-wing leaps on top of any counter-narrative, counter-dissent, counter-opinion, and will attempt to squelch anyone's right to have a varying opinion to their group, the left-wing group. So here, the government agency or the quasi-quango, whatever APRA is, I don't think it's technically, I don't know what it is, but it's not a group of doctors anyway, but they've got the power over what doctors can say and do, etc., etc. In this instance, they are a left-wing troll against Dr. Berger and others, the medical practitioners, 800 plus thousand of them around Australia. And the right-wing trolls you're referring to, I'm just taking a guess here, could be those who are upset with his pro-vaccination and pro the measures that are pro the, pandemic management that have been shown by those with the eyes to see to be dangerous, downright dangerous, and in many cases just not effective and overly expensive, and shoveling, you know, bucket loads of money to people who already have bucket loads of money, the top multinationals, etc., who are producing vaccines and expensive pharmaceuticals and so on. I kept wanting to close my Twitter account, and I veer between doing it and not doing it. This is Dr. Berger speaking, because I have an important voice globally, not just in Australia. I kind of feel at the moment I have to keep fighting it. The attempts to close me, oh, I think I've already read that down through inciting mass reporting to APRA, have been very sinister. His anti-vax detractors accuse him of bedwetting and fear-mongering for urging stronger public health measures. Okay, so they'll be the right-wing trolls he's referring to. Because if he's calling for stronger public health measures, that disappoints me, because his stronger public health measures won't be actually genuine public health measures. That has he heard of the Great Barrington Declaration and the 900,000 plus epidemiologists, scientists, highly credited medicos, etc., highly qualified people who have put their signatures to that declaration, saying let's focus our resources on the most vulnerable and do not impose lockdowns and mandate measures and mask measures, etc., against the great asymptomatic majority. Don't do that, and don't wreck economies in the process. So he's a mixed bag, and so I think I now know who his anti-vax detractors will be, people like me. But I'm not anti-vax. I've said that often enough and defined what I am in many of these videos. I'm the guy who flies single-engine aircraft across the North Atlantic. I'm no scaredy-cat. I just understand the risk, he responded. I'll pause. I've moved position a little in the park here. I am continuing to read. Perth-based obstetrician and gynecologist Dr. Stas Vazhevnik, who holds concerns about the COVID-19 vaccines, has had his own run-in with APRA over content he put on his LinkedIn page. The article extensively quoted Nobel Prize winning virologist Professor Luc Montagnier and a Belgian vaccinologist, Dr. Geert van den Bosch, he said. Both expressed their serious concerns that vaccinating the population in the middle of the pandemic was going to result in creation of vaccine-resistant variants that may be potentially counterproductive and more deadly. I acknowledge that, and many others have come to the same conclusion. Highly qualified, credible people putting forward this very plausible theory. An anonymous complaint was then made to APRA, and I got a notification that threatened further repercussions as the views expressed in the article contradicted official government policy. Isn't that horrendous? You just have to contradict official government policy to have the threat of actions against you, deregistration, loss of your income, loss of your livelihood, any number of things just because you're disagreeing with government policy. This is this is Chinese Communist Party stuff. This is North Korea. This is the old Soviet Union. It's throughout history the one of the favoured techniques of dictatorships, tyrants, gutless. Bastards whose views do not stand up to any examination by objectively qualified people who have strong connections to reality, so they clamp down on any dissent. They're gutless bastards. I've said it. Right. Not wanting to be sanctioned, Dr. Vazhevnik said he removed the article and apologised. Well, I can understand that. It is appropriate at times to lose some battles to win the war. I do it all the time myself, and the better connected to reality you are, and the more experienced you are, the more wise you are, and I'm not pretending to be any of those three, but I'm a work in progress, the more we can discern which battles to lose, which battles are best to lose in order to further winning the war. The Sunday Times interviewed two other practitioners who didn't want to be named for fear of losing the registration. One of them, a psychiatrist, feels silenced even though no action has been taken against her. She chose to close her private practice rather than comply with the vaccine mandate last year. How horrendous is that? What a terrible position to have to be in. One of them, right, she said she wasn't anti-vax per se, but adopted the precautionary principle. I admire the precautionary principle. It is exactly, look, go to Hippocrates' oath, the first line of it or whatever, part of it. First, do no harm. Well, that's founded surely on the principle saturating that is the precautionary approach. So if you go bull at a gate using some experimental, never before used process that only tested on occasional animals, etc., and then rushed out under emergency use authorization, warp speed, COVID-19 stuff I'm talking now, mRNA, that's not a precautionary approach. You're likely to do harm. And of course, there's overwhelming evidence all around the world for that's exactly what's happening. Lethal harm. I think it's important that, as quoting this same anonymous medico, I think it's important that as medical professionals we go through such rigorous training that we should be allowed to speak independently and have debate. Absolutely. But all unvaccinated doctors have been banned from practice around Australia. So the unvaccinated voice, we've just been completely ostracised, she said. She won't be reopening her practice. Isn't that disgusting? It is so wrong. You're an unvaccinated doctor and you're banned from practicing. You disgusting, miserable, shriveled little ethical pygmies that run APRA, run the government, in fact, around Australia, have no balls. And you are doing the dictates of the big elites above you, just yes men, yes women, puppets of the puppet masters, and probably getting wonderfully recompensed and lucrative kickbacks in one way or another for it.